Sunday night's main event is presented by Cineplex. Catch WrestleMania live on the big screen. Head to cineplex.com/events for tickets now.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
We're only 1 week away from the grandest stage of them all. But how many matches can you fit into a 6, 7, 8 hour show? Ooh. Welcome to Sunday night's main event, brought to you by Cineplex. Watch WrestleMania live on the big screen at Cineplex. Scream and cheer for your favorites in a theater full of fans just like you. And leading up to WrestleMania, wow, do we have a packed show for you tonight and a crazy week of bonus shows for you this week as well. But more on that later. First things first, let's talk about tonight. I'm very excited to welcome the man that won our patron vote for Wrestler of the Year 2018, Kenny Omega. Omega hit the media scene in Toronto this past week in conjunction with the TSN Engraved in a Nation documentary series and his episode of it, Omega Man, a wrestling love story. Kenny joined me in studio this past Wednesday for a one-on-one chat where we went beyond the documentary and dove into his career, his perspective on professional wrestling in 2019, and where AEW is headed. I'll play a portion of that on tonight's show. Along with that, the Triple Threat segment is going to be happening with two of my favorite online sources from 411 Mania, Larry Zonka, and Andrew Zarian from the Matt Men podcast. Along with them, Dave Meltzer is going to be stopping by for the Wrestling Observer Insider to give us the inside details on the rumors of WWE taking SmackDown to, yep, you guessed it, 3 hours when it moves over to Fox. Because more is more, my friends. And yes, we finally made it. We will find out who the two finalists will be in our Turnbuckle Trivia Contest. The tournament semifinals are tonight, and both the Canadian finals and the international finals will play out in a very ear-pleasing edition of the game tonight. And of course, your audio and written feedback will be later on in tonight's show. It is so packed, we best get to starting with getting you up to date with a recap of this week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Well, first of all, I really have no idea what time we're going to actually be on the air next week, because from what I can tell, WrestleMania looks to be the longest event of all time for the WWE. The pre-show is set for 5 p.m. Eastern, we know that, and it looks like it won't be off the air till about 12:30 a.m. Wow. One of the reasons for this may be that there are 17 matches that look to be happening on the card. Expect the tag title matches for Raw and SmackDown to be announced this week on TV, and we're still waiting on some sort of match for John Cena. The only thing that has been reported about this is that it is not the Kurt Angle match, which I still find it so hard to believe that that will not be the ultimate result. It was also confirmed this week that we're going to get a men's and women's battle royal at WrestleMania, and WWE announced 29 male participants and 13 female participants in the various matches. WWE really seems to be pulling out all the stops for access this year as well, with more matches than ever. WWE.com posted up the access schedule, which is going to include the following. NXT versus NXT alumni. That's happening on Thursday, April 4th. The Cruiserweights will collide. That's Friday, April the 5th. The NXT UK tapings on Saturday, April the 6th. That has three sessions to it. The brands battle, so people from different brands are going to be performing on Sunday, April the 7th before Mania, in case you don't get enough just going to Mania. And the women collide on Monday, April the 8th. And consider that's only the WWE events that are happening. There is so much else to do in New York during this week. It really feels like one of, if not the biggest WrestleMania weekend of all time. Viceland has released the trailer for 6 episodes of professional wrestling documentaries. The series is called Dark Side of the Ring, and I posted up the trailer on the Sunday Night's Main Event Twitter and in the Facebook group, so go check it out. It looks great. The series is going to premiere on Viceland at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday, April the 10th, and here's the schedule. So the first one, April the 10th, is Randy Savage and Elizabeth. That is the subject. April 17th, Bret Hart and the Montreal Screwjob. Well, you win some, you lose some. That's a little overdone. April 24th, Bruiser Brody. May 1st, Kevin Von Erich and the Von Erich family. May 8th, Gino Hernandez. And finally, May 15th, the fabulous Moolah. It looks like a tremendous series, and if you don't have Viceland, it may be worth ordering for a couple months just to watch this series. Linda McMahon has confirmed that she's resigning as the head of Small Business Administration. Her resignation will take effect on April the 12th. She'll become the chair of the American First Action Super PAC, which Politico noted officials view as a key plank in Trump's re-election campaign and raising money for it. Guess she can just go to her husband and can raise some money. And speaking of money and her husband, Vince McMahon sold 3,204,427 shares of WWE stock earlier this week, primarily to help fund Alpha Entertainment and the XFL. I'm shaking my head as I read this. McMahon still controls the vast majority of voting power in the company, but why do you take out money from one profitable company to go into another that is just doomed to lose so much money? Let's talk about some WWE personalities. And JoJo Offerman has not been on TV lately. Well, the reason was revealed this week. She and Bray Wyatt will be having a baby boy. This was revealed this past Wednesday. JoJo announced her pregnancy and revealed that the baby is a boy and is expected to arrive in June. The baby's name is Nash with a K. Not Kevin Nash, though. But maybe. I kind of think it's unfortunate, though. I wish it was a girl, and I really wanted them to name it Abigail. That'd be fun. ROH announced Tuesday that Flip Gordon re-injured his right knee and would not be appearing at tonight's Road to G1 Supercard show. This also leaves the opponent for Bully Ray's open challenge up in the air as well, because rumors were that it could have been Flip Gordon. Not anymore. Well, it looks like Lucha Underground is a thing of the past, as Lucha Central reported earlier this week that El Hero del Fantasma, that's King Cuerno, Ivelisse, Joey Ryan, and Thunder Rosa, Cobra Moon, who are involved in a class action lawsuit against Babaji Productions and the El Rey Network, were immediately released and will become free agents as part of the settlement. So look for Joey Ryan and AEW to get together. I don't doubt that one happening. Let's flip over to the world of MMA with a few stories here. One of them, of course, being Conor McGregor and the scandal that seems to be following this guy around. Every week there's something new. This was quite a big week, actually. On Monday night, Conor appeared on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. However, we also learned this was taped last week. Then Tuesday morning, Conor tweeted out and announced his retirement from the UFC. Again. Tuesday afternoon slash evening, news broke that Conor is under investigation for a sexual assault that took place in Dublin of December of 2018. We'll chat with Dave Meltzer a little bit later in the show about the details on this and how it may affect the career of Conor McGregor, or not at all. When you have that much money, like Mayweather, sometimes nothing happens. Couple more MMA notes that actually pertain to inside the octagon. That's a novel concept. The other lovely upstanding citizen that finds himself as a UFC champion is John Jones. He will defend the UFC light heavyweight championship against Thiago Santos at July's UFC 239 card. Also on that card, double champ Amanda Nunes will defend her bantamweight belt against Holly Holm in the co-main event. Tyrone Woodley is happening versus Robbie Lawler. That's going to headline UFC's ESPN show in Minneapolis, Minnesota on June 29th. Now remember, both of these guys are coming off losses on the same card. Lawler was involved in the controversial stoppage decision to Ben Askren, while Woodley was completely outclassed by Kamaru Usman. Ben Askren also tweeted earlier this week that he has accepted a fight with Jorge Masvidal, but Masvidal has yet to accept. One final note here, going back to the business side of things, the Wall Street Journal reported that Endeavor, the parent company of the UFC, is getting ready to go public. This was reported in the Wrestling Observer a few weeks ago, and Endeavor is looking to do this by the end of the year. The value of Endeavor in 2017 was $6.3 billion, and that might actually be undervalued because UFC itself is around $6 billion as far as its value goes, and you got to consider that it's even more profitable than that right now due to the deal that they just did with ESPN. They also noted, the Washington Post, that is, they also noted the Washington Street Journal, that is, that Endeavor had paid back $400 million in funding by Saudi Arabia to get them out of the company in wake of the Khashoggi murder. So, UFC and Endeavor taking the high road, getting Saudi Arabia out of their business. WWE, yeah, the blood money's good with them. We're going to take a break and come on back next. I want to chat a little bit about a Ronda Rousey promo this week. I mean, I like Joan Jett as much as the next person, except if that next person is Ronda Rousey and completely clueless. We'll do that next. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Catch WrestleMania live at Cineplex. You can watch all the suplexes, power slams, and chair shots on a screen so big, it's like you're there. Whether it's the triple threat match for the Raw Women's Championship, the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar, defending his title against Seth Rollins, or Batista and Triple H getting extreme in a no-holds-barred match, you and your friends can feel free to scream and cheer as loud as you want in a theater full of fans just like you. For tickets, go to cineplex.com/events or get them on your Cineplex app.
Hey, guess what? Joan Jett is playing my entrance at WrestleMania! And I've never even met Joan Jett. And Joan Jett, I love you so much, and you're amazing, and I totally can't wait. And it's going to be really hard for me to make a beeline down that ramp instead of just coming over and, like, just being in awe of your amazingness. But I cannot wait. Thank you so much for coming. This is an immense honor, and I want to make sure this is the best show you have ever seen, second to your own show, because that's the best show ever. Thank you, Joan. See you soon. I hate myself for
loving you. You know, you can talk about the length of WrestleMania. You can talk about the overbooking of the Kofi Kingston angle, but nothing, and I mean nothing, in the build to WrestleMania made me more angry than seeing that clip online this week. That, of course, was Ronda Rousey talking about Joan Jett playing her theme. A lot of people criticized Ronda Rousey for that shoot work promo. You know, remember the one where Ronda was sitting on the couch dropping F-bombs while getting her hair done? Many fans took huge offense to it because she called wrestling fake, predetermined, and she wasn't going along with the script anymore. Well, I mean, that was absolutely ridiculous, and I can't say I really cared for it, but I actually thought the first part of it, the return to the angry Ronda Rousey character, the psychotic woman in UFC that we came to know and cheer for or hate, whatever you like, I thought it worked. I thought it was okay. I didn't like the part where she said it was fake, but you take the good with the bad. But this video, what the hell is wrong with you, lady? Are you a 13-year-old schoolgirl that's going to an Ariana Grande concert? No! You're supposed to be the baddest woman on the planet. You're a champion. You deserve a championship entrance. Of course, Joan Jett is going to play you down to the ring. And she should be thanking you for that opportunity to be associated with you. Is that so hard? Is that so hard to come up with? Is that so hard to think through your character and understand what you are doing in wrestling and what you are doing on television, on social media, on YouTube? No, it's not that difficult. Just think it through. Just know what you're doing. After all, Ronda, you're the champion. The champion that is going to main event, to be the first ever women's main event at WrestleMania. You should think you're better than everyone else and not be looking up to anyone, including Joan Jett. But let's face it, I guess it doesn't matter. And it's sad that continually when something makes me angry, it's just like, well, it's WWE. When it comes right down to it, it doesn't matter. I mean, the company scored an absolute huge media hit announcing something that we all knew. And I say we, talking directly to you who listens to this program. We all knew that this was going to be the main event, but WWE announced it officially this week that the triple threat for the women's championship belts will be the main event at WrestleMania. But in a true telltale sign of the way the WWE works, we don't exactly know how the championship belts are going to break down in this matchup. You see, Charlotte's now the SmackDown champion and Ronda's the Raw champion. Becky is, I guess, number one contender to both. So from what I can tell, both titles are going to be on the line, but it's only if a champion gets pins that they lose the title, right? So Charlotte pins Ronda. Charlotte's the double champ. Ronda pins Charlotte. Ronda's the double champ. But if Becky pins Charlotte, she only gets a SmackDown title. If Becky pins Ronda, she only gets the Raw title. Now, this hasn't been officially announced by WWE as of yet, but I expect it to happen tomorrow. And if it does, I expect Becky to pin Ronda and thus set up Becky with the Raw belt, Charlotte with the SmackDown belt, and Bayley and Sasha with the tag titles all in the ring at the end of Mania, looking a lot like Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero at the end of WrestleMania 20. But please do me one favor. Don't cry. I don't want the curtain call where everybody cries. In particular, Ronda. I suppose it would be okay if it's the Four Horsewoman because they've come up so far. But if Ronda hugs Becky and Charlotte and those three cry at the end of the event, it will completely ruin this whole angle for me. And if you think it's a sexist remark, it's not. I don't want to see Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins hug after the match either. It ruins the angle, especially when they're going back to fighting the next day. I don't mind seeing that behavior on WWE 24 or one of their documentary specials, even an online YouTube post. That's fine, but just not on the main show. Just keep that mystique. Keep that curtain closed. When you're in the ring, you're playing a character. When you're backstage, you're yourself. You're someone different. If it's an emotional moment, yeah, I do want to see it. I want to see it there. I don't want to see it in the ring. Let me put it to you this way, if it explains it a little bit more clear. Thanos isn't hugging Thor at the completion of Avengers Endgame. But you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing an interview with Chris Hemsworth and Josh Brolin where they joke around. That's fine. It's a different medium. It's a divide between the real people and the fictional characters. And though I do enjoy how WWE managed to blur those lines, just set some boundaries, you know? Rules for your universe, perhaps. Gonna take a break and come on back. Next up, the triple threat to talk about that three-way main event and all of WrestleMania weekend and its festivities. Larry Zonka, Andrew Zarian, join me next right here, Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Hi, this is Nug Nargang from Sportsnet's Aftermath, and when I'm not talking about wrestling on TV, I'm performing in wrestling-based improv shows, like the next Strikes a Mania, Thursday, April 4th at 9:30 at Comedy Bar. You can cheer, boo, and heckle your favorite performers just like you were at a real wrestling show. So kick off your WrestleMania weekend with Strikes a Mania at Comedy Bar, Thursday, April 4th at 9:30 p.m. Just keep the signs in the back row, okay? People have to see us.
Strikes a Mania, Thursday, April 4th, 9:30 p.m. at Comedy Bar in Toronto. Advanced tickets now on sale at snmeradio.com.
Catch WrestleMania live at Cineplex. You can watch all the suplexes, power slams, and chair shots on a screen so big, it's like you're there. Whether it's the triple threat match for the Raw Women's Championship, the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar, defending his title against Seth Rollins, or Batista and Triple H getting extreme in a no-holds-barred match, you and your friends can feel free to scream and cheer as loud as you want in a theater full of fans just like you. For tickets, go to cineplex.com/events or get them on your Cineplex app.
Testing 1, 2, 3. This is the Triple Threat.
There's gonna be a Triple Threat.
Triple Threat.
Triple Threat match.
On Sunday night's main event.
It is Triple Threat time here on Sunday night's main event, and joining me this week, two gentlemen who are also going to have to watch a lot of content next weekend. One will be there live, and one will be watching it, like myself, on TV. So first up, a regular to the Triple Threat, Larry Zonka from 411 Mania. Hey, Larry, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. And then from New York, from the Matt Men podcast, Andrew Zarian. Andrew, how you doing, bud?
Hey, doing great.
Are you ready? So, Andrew, you're in New York, which is why I brought that up. Normally, I wouldn't, but that's where WrestleMania is going to be next weekend. There is so much going on. For you to be there covering it live, what do you do? Do you just pick and choose? Do you look for matches? Do you look for events? Like, how are you going about covering this?
At this point, I'm just putting events into a bowl. I'm just shaking it up and just drawing them. I mean, it's gotten so wonky with how many events. I have it down to about 8 or 9 events I'm going to. I also need to, do shows and do the podcast. So it's not like I could just say, okay, I'm going to go to all the events. I got to actually cover it. So I've kind of brought it down to like 8 events. The only major show I'm not going to is WrestleMania.
That's kind of funny. I mean, that's funny you say that. I mean, that is what started it all. I mean, that's what this whole thing is based around. But you're not the first person to tell me that, hey, you know what? I'm going to go enjoy WrestleMania weekend, but I'm not actually going to go to the signature event because I don't know how long this is going to be. Right now, they're sitting at 13 matches, and there's supposed to be 2 more tag matches added and maybe Cena, so it could be 16 matches.
Yeah, I mean, I'm anticipating it to be 7 hours. That's my estimate, or just shy of 7 hours. And I don't want to go to New Jersey, first of all. I don't want to sit in the traffic or just have that disaster of a commute coming back with 70,000 people.
Yeah.
Mad rushing out of that building. I know what it was like for WrestleMania 29,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of don't want to experience that again. But with that said, it's still going to be an amazing experience for, everybody, majority of people that are going there. And for the city of New York, I think it's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue that's generated. So in a matter of 3-4 days, it's tremendous for the economy.
Yeah, I mean, it is great for the city that it's in, and it literally is bigger than ever. But I mean, as Andrew said there, Larry, we have this 7-hour event, if not more. Honestly, it starts at 5, and you're saying midnight. We just saw the Royal Rumble do a ridiculous amount of time. Plus, you've got the New Japan ROH. Plus, you've got TakeOver, which should be delightful. You, Larry, you've upped your game since you're back to it. You're covering absolutely everything. So how much are you doing next week?
I'm not doing as much as I have the past few years, simply for the fact that, I would do like 11 or 12 shows in the past couple of years, but I just, with the wheelchair gimmick right now, I can't be in it for too long because basically my rear starts to hurt.
Yeah, you got it.
I'm definitely covering, Evolve, the WWN Super Show, Impact, United We Stand, TakeOver, G1 Supercard and WrestleMania for sure. And if I feel froggy, I might get something in there in between. But yeah, I'm definitely covering all that stuff. G1 Supercard is going to be a long show too, but it looks really good. TakeOver, it'll be a 3-hour max. So, and that card looks just sexy. On paper, it looks so good.
For all of us who obviously watch, and I mean anyone that listens to this radio show watches a ton of wrestling and consumes so much of it each and every week. It's such a big weekend, but if you were to pick one thing, I know it's a hard question, but one thing that you're like, this I hope to be the highlight of my weekend, what, looking at it now, because this may be a very different answer on Monday, but looking at it right now, what is it for you, Andrew?
NXT. It's an easy. That's my easy one because it's just the card is only a couple of 5 matches or so.
Yeah.
And I've been to Brooklyn NXT shows. I've been to house shows for NXT. And it's always a great show. So I'm going into it expecting it's going to be probably one of the best shows of the week. Secondary, I really want the G1 Super Show at MSG to be a phenomenal show. I don't know, because it's I think a lot of people are going to have butterflies being in the garden, and the expectation is going to be set so high for New Japan and Ring of Honor at this point. I hope they're the breakout stars of this week, but I'm anticipating it's going to be NXT.
All right, Larry, on your end, what are you looking forward to watching the most out of everything?
It's probably NXT.
Yeah.
I love that card. When the spoilers came out, I did a show about it. I already have my preview written for it. It's just I love that card. It's one of those cards where if everything delivers like it could, it's probably going to be not this show of the weekend. Could be like the best takeover ever. It looks so good. And also, like Andrew said, I just G1 Supercard too. Just there's so much good on that. So that's basically like my order of excitement goes NXT, G1 Supercard pretty much easily. And I think there's going to be just between those two shows alone, outside of the other like 34 or so shows that weekend, you're going to have a ton of just great matches from those two shows alone.
All right, so because he is my guest in the next hour, I do want to ask you, with ROH and New Japan finally working MSG, you know, a lot of the New Japan popularity and them gaining some ground in the U.S. came around Kenny Omega. He just had a documentary released here in Canada, and that's why I have him on the show next hour. Is there any sense of disappointment to you guys that Kenny was there to form some of the building blocks in order to break into the U.S. market, but is not going to be a part of this New Japan ROH show that's happening in the Garden? Andrew?
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, and you could tell by the ticket sales for the Garden show, it's a sellout, and it was a sellout instantly, but the secondhand market, those ticket prices on StubHub plummeting in pricing when people realize that Kenny Omega and the Bucks and Cody won't be there. I think I picked mine up very last minute, probably last week, and I got remarkable seats for under $100 for Madison Square Garden. So it tells you that the secondhand market is having difficulty offloading those.
Right.
I'm anticipating 14,000-15,000 people in that building, but the excitement for an Okada and Omega match as the main event, that would have been an unbelievable experience for anybody to get tickets for. But now, obviously we're getting a great match, but it's not going to be that main event.
The weekend, I mean, in general, Andrew, you bring up a good point, but the weekend missing the hottest thing in wrestling right now is probably, at least for the hardcore fans, the AEW mystique. The Bucks, Cody, Kenny, none of them a part of this WrestleMania weekend. Does that take anything away for you, Larry?
Maybe in a very, very small way. Like, I think the Young Bucks are great. Love them. Kenny Omega, obviously very great and everything. Obviously, they would have added the shows. But, I mean, if you just look around at all the shows and all the talent being brought in, I mean, to me, it's one of those, it's a buffet, man. I mean, if you can't find something to be happy about over WrestleMania weekend or to enjoy, you're either just disenfranchised with wrestling as a whole, or you're not very easy to please, because there is just so much variety from the WrestleCon super shows and stuff like they're doing like Will Ospreay and Bandito, which sounds like really great. Like I'll need to track that down. But there's just so much other cool stuff going on, different stuff like Bloodsport, Joey Janela's Spring Break. That, I mean, it's disappointing not to have like the Young Bucks, especially around, because like I said, they're like basically my favorite tag team. And I can take Cody for what he is at times, and I like Omega, but I just look at it and I'm like, yeah, it sucks that they're not there, and especially like on the MSG show, because when that was sold out, everybody was expecting them to be part of it, and now it's like, well, this stinks, they're not, so. Slight disappointment, but I just think that there's so much going on. Again, there's something like, there's at least like 36 shows this weekend. And if you can't find a good time in that, again, you're either too hard to please or just maybe you need to give up on it.
Yeah, it's got to be, especially with being there, Andrew, like for everyone that's there, it's just going to be an extreme case of FOMO, just fear of missing out because there's so much going on. But let's actually talk about the show that this weekend surrounds, and that is the big one that almost seems to be forgotten by hardcore fans, and that is WrestleMania. And WWE got a lot of great press this week in regards to saying that the women's three-way will be the main event, something that I've been saying since last year that that would happen. Complicating things this week, though, is Charlotte attaining the SmackDown women's title and away from Asuka. Mixed reviews on this. Nice to have it in the main event, but also, as far as Asuka goes, really kind of shipping her off to the side. Andrew, what was your take on this title now being a part of the main?
I think it adds a different element. I know a lot of people were upset over this, but I'm not as down on the element of a winner-take-all concept where you possibly unify the titles. We don't know. They haven't mentioned anything. I know the speculation has been that it's a winner-take-all, but we don't know what necessarily that means.
Yeah,
I'm assuming whoever gets the pin on the champion would get, the title of that brand. So essentially, Charlotte or Ronda could have both titles. But if Becky pins one, then maybe Becky pins one, then maybe just she gets one. I don't know. We'll find out on Monday, I guess. But the word that I think Dave has been using and a lot of people is winner take all.
Yeah, I had heard that as well, and it looks like that could be the case. As you said, we will find out on Monday. I am seeing this as a bit of a plot to have the four horsewomen of WWE all standing with titles at the end of this event. What do you think of that? Do you think that because this allows Charlotte not to lose the belt if Becky pins Ronda? That's my prediction. I mean, I don't know if that is even possible, depending on what they say tomorrow. But Larry, do you think there may be an inkling of that here?
I think so. I saw a report that they said that's not the plan. But I mean, basically, people always want to joke about the plans change line from Dave, but like. Honestly, WWE has basically embraced it on TV with Meta Vince just coming out and changing stuff whenever he wants to. I mean, it's basically what he does in real life. So, I think that's a possibility. And on the Asuka thing, man, the reason that annoyed me is I understand you're building the WrestleMania main event. I understand that it plays perfectly into the story that Becky said Charlotte had nothing to bring and that Charlotte is an entitled, spoiled brat who is basically getting everything handed to her. And that all works. But the problem was you basically assassinated the SmackDown Women's Division because Asuka wins the title in that great TLC match. Then she taps out Becky the next month. And then from end of January till now, you have done nothing. You have not moved anybody. You have not built up anybody to make that division worth anything. And everybody goes, oh, so what? You would have been fine with her versus, Naomi, Carmella, Mandy, or Sonya. Well, I would have been if they actually would have taken some time to build up the division and make people care about it. But they didn't. They didn't get anybody over, and they just left Asuka out there basically doing nothing. And you wasted the entire title run. You wasted the TLC win. You wasted her tapping Becky out just to give Charlotte another title and add to that main event. And again, I get it, but the whole angle has been an assassination of the SmackDown Women's Division. Because you take Charlotte and Becky and you essentially move them to Raw for this, and then it's like, oh yeah, SmackDown has women folk too, and then you basically ignore it. So to me, that's the worst part about all of it.
Yeah, it's funny because there seemed to have been no planning for that SmackDown title, where in my opinion, as far as the other SmackDown title with Kofi Kingston, I don't know about you guys, but if I never, ever see another gauntlet match in my life, I am perfectly fine with that. This has been overkill to the highest degree, especially this week with the other two New Day members competing in a gauntlet match. Andrew, to me, too much on the Kofi thing and passing the peak at this point. I still think he's going to get a huge pop if he wins, but yeah, was it not overkill to you?
I think so. I think, they tend to do this where they figure out a gimmick for a match and then somebody falls in love with that concept because it worked once and they go full force into incorporating in everything that they do. Listen, Kofi's going to have an amazing entrance, amazing pop. I'm just, what's the next step? Let's say he wins. What's the next move beyond this?
I made a joke on the on Twitter, and I said, "Yeah, what if they do Freebird rules for the title?" And and this is one element that they add. I mean, it was obviously a joke, and people hated it. But I the only positive from doing all of this is that the unpredictability. We don't go into WrestleMania saying, "Oh, Daniel Bryan's winning 100%," or "Charlotte's winning the title," or "Becky's winning the title." I think they've done a decent job at kind of putting in the back of all of our heads that, okay, maybe what we expect might not happen.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, there's no foregone conclusion here because of the, insane McMahon, both on the screen and behind the scenes, that seems to be running this thing. You know, you asked what's next, though, Andrew, and a lot of people are like, well, it was Big E and Xavier that actually got Kofi into this, and maybe this means that they take credit and they turn, and this is the breakup of the New Day. Larry, breakup of the New Day?
I think it's definitely possible, and the thing is, too, is, you know, Kofi, the result almost doesn't matter if they're going to turn the other two, because they can have him win the title, and they can turn after that because Kofi's taken all the adulation and he's celebrating and everything, and they can feel left out. But the other thing, too, is if he loses, it works almost just as well. Because they can be like, you know, we got you here. You know, we were the last straw that got you here, and then you failed us. You know, so you can, yeah, you can do a lot with that. It'll be interesting. I'm kind of torn on the result. I think there's still a lot of meat on the bone with heel Daniel Bryan as champion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously you can build to the to another Miz match with, the roles reversed now. But then again, it's like Kofi kind of, you luck into him being so over. And it's like, do you want to throw that away? So I think it also depends on what they're going to do with the Universal title thing. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that seem to think, like, well, Rollins is just going to win. But how many times have we said Brock's going to lose and the other person's going to win? And then we find out that Brock has magically signed a new deal for more money and less dates. I mean, that's a smart man right there. I'll give him that.
Yeah, he and Chris Jericho are the two best negotiators in wrestling and MMA combined. And Larry, I got a big smile on my face right now because I have written in front of me Kofi, Becky, and Seth, because those are the three stories that they're telling right now, the three big championship stories. And as Meatloaf once said, two out of three ain't bad. And I think that's what we're getting here. I think one of these three is not walking away with the championship. I could be wrong, but I just feel as though one of these stories has to be held beyond WrestleMania. And I'll give you both the shot here. If you're picking one that's not walking away with the gold, Andrew, which one is it?
I'm going to go on a totally different... If we're going to go with a totally unpredictable ending,
sure,
I'm going to see Charlotte win her match and Becky doesn't.
Really? So that would be, now does she walk away with both titles or is she pinning Becky?
Both titles, getting
cans
thrown at her, tomatoes getting thrown at her. That's the ending of WrestleMania.
Oh man. And Larry, what's your prediction here?
Honestly, I think Brock wins.
Yeah.
I think that he's gonna do it again. They got the Fox thing coming up, and with all that for radio safe version, WWE has FU money right now.
Yep.
And if Brock wants to stay around and work his how many ever matches a year and keep getting paid more money, if he's willing to do that, I think Vince will be more than willing to keep him around. They think he's a big business mover for some reason, and they think he's a big deal. And, yeah, it'll be interesting, but I think that they're going to run that story, and it's going to be all hope and hugs and kisses that Seth is going to win, and then people are going to be crushed because, you know, Brock was one of the smartest men in wrestling again.
I would not be surprised if Brock walks away with the gold. I kind of got to agree with you there. But, Andrew, I mean, you're not going to the event, but ship tomatoes in case your scenario happens as well. All right, we're all going to be covering it, so let's get your coverage in here. Andrew, first, where can people find you, read you, listen to you, etc.?
Mat Men Podcast is the show that we do. We're going to be doing a show almost every single day next week, so it's a lot. It's a full schedule. Mat Men Podcast on Twitter, and of course you can follow me, Andrew Zarian, on Twitter.
Great. Larry, the man who I love to read, you're watching and you're typing. 411 Mania, anywhere else people should check out?
At Larry Zonka 411 on Twitter. Follow the website for all my reviews and columns. And the return of the 411 on Wrestling Podcast, which is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and YouTube. Follow along and subscribe. And if you want to hear more of my audio ramblings.
Awesome. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me today. And listen, good luck next week with all of the craziness that's about to ensue.
Well, thank you. I need it.
Yeah, I think I need it as well, to say the least. And for those of you that are patrons of Sunday Night's Main Event, well, if you're not, I'll be honest, you may want to be one now. And I know tomorrow will be the first day of the month, and it is a great month to subscribe and become a patron. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. Here is what our coverage is going to look like Tuesday. You will get a preview of New Japan Pro Wrestling, Ring of Honor, the card that's happening at Madison Square Garden. That will be hosted by Dan Lavransky and our new recruit to Sunday Night's Main Event, Joe Aguinaldo. So you'll get to learn who Joe is. He's a huge fan of New Japan and Ring of Honor. Those two will take you on through, preview that card as well. Give you a bit of a preview of what's going on with AEW. So they're going to be chatting about that as well with all the latest developments. Wednesday, I'm going to post up my full interview with Kenny Omega from top to tail. And I'm talking about, I walked into the room and had the microphones rolling. And Kenny knew that, and he was all good. He's a great guy. Portion of that interview in the next hour, full thing happening on Wednesday. Thursday, we can't fit the six-pack challenge into this show tonight. WrestleMania is going to have like 16 matches. That is a whole podcast unto itself. So I'm going to call it the six-pack preview. Yeah, Mouth and I are going to put beers on the line, and then we're going to go through and make our picks on WrestleMania. Oh, and by the way, Thursday night, for those of you who are local, of course, you got to come on out. Strikes-a-Mania is happening. I'll be hosting it at Comedy Bar. Strikes-a-Mania, it's at 9:30 p.m. on Thursday night. Nugnar Gang from Aftermath on Sportsnet is going to be playing along with a whole bunch of other great players. It's where Whose Line Is It Anyway meets Fear Factor, meets WWE. We could be crowning a new champion. It is going to be very fun. All inside jokes for basically a two-hour wrestling improv show. You will not be disappointed. Get your tickets, snmeradio.com. Do it right now. On Friday night, I'll be covering NXT for you. Unfortunately, Bartender Dave can't join me because he is going to be there live. Therefore, our patron who covered Super Showdown, Chris from Australia, will be joining me to cover NXT New York. Saturday, Joe Aguinaldo will be back with, of course, Dan the Mouth Lavransky. They'll be covering the New Japan Ring of Honor card for you on a podcast. And Sunday, Dan and I will spend an unbelievable amount of quality time together. We will be live on TSN Radio. Whenever the hell WrestleMania finishes, we are going to take to the air. We'll do a minimum of 2 hours for you. That is a minimum. If you guys keep calling, we'll keep going. We could be doing an extended edition of Sunday Night's Main Event if you can stay awake, because it's going to be a long, long weekend, a long night, but enjoy it while you can. So that is what is going to be happening for our coverage right here on Sunday Night's Main Event. If you're not a patron, now is your time. Patreon.com/SNMEradio, and it also allows you to become a part of the Turnbuckle Trivia festivities. We have our first semifinal coming up. It's the first of two on this show. It's coming up next, and for the first time ever, get ready to hear two people play Name That Theme. It is next, right here, Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Catch WrestleMania live at Cineplex. You can watch all the suplexes, power slams, and chair shots on a screen so big, it's like you're there. Whether it's the triple threat match for the Raw Women's Championship, the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar, defending his title against Seth Rollins, or Batista and Triple H getting extreme in a no-holds-barred match, you and your friends can feel free to scream and cheer as loud as you want in a theater full of fans just like you. For tickets, go to cineplex.com/events or get them on your Cineplex app.
Thanks for listening to the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like to hear the second hour, just visit patreon.com/snmeradio and become a patron. This gives you access to the weekly shows and all the podcasts that we do as well. It's patreon.com/snmeradio.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up!
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there! And they say yeah! And they stay there!
Welcome to the semifinals of the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament. It's the first of two on today's show, and we are in the international division, and we're about to play a different game. First up, the man that everyone seems to be afraid of, Paul from the UK. Welcome back.
I don't know why Edward's afraid of me. I'm a big softie.
Well, Paul, I don't know, because I told your opponent, Brandon from South Carolina. Brandon, you and I went back and forth in messaging, and this was the one guy you didn't want to play, correct?
Well, that Tuesday in Texas answer, I think is he the one who said something about
yes.
Velvet McIntyre?
No. Yeah. That was Ken from Toronto. He's also in the semifinals.
Oh, okay.
But yes, Tuesday in Texas was Paul's answer last week, where he definitely knew that.
That was
so
crazy.
You're intimidating, Paul, is all we're saying.
I've just watched a lot of wrestling.
Well, guys, here's what we're doing today. We are playing a different game. Today, we are playing Name That Theme. And here's how it works. I'm going to play you clips. I'll direct them towards a person, but steals are also in play. So keep that in mind. You want to be listening to the other person's clip as well. You're going to get clips from themes from wrestlers from the WWE/WWF. Nothing outside of that. They will be relatively popular themes. The first one that comes at you will be a 5-second sample. Your second one will be 4, you know, and it'll go down until we get to 1-second clues. Paul, you will go first. Brandon, you will go second. And here is your first clip. You're allowed to hear it up to 2 times. That is all. And here is, remember, you're going to steal, Brandon, clip number 1. Paul, do you wish to answer or hear it again?
I will hear that again, please.
Here we go. Whose theme is that?
I'm stuck between two, and I'm it's like, it crushes.
It is not Crush's theme. For the steal, Brandon.
Victoria, I don't know, it sounds like a female.
The correct answer was Sergeant Slaughter. That was Sergeant Slaughter's theme. All right, we now move along. Brandon, this is your guess, and Paul, you may have the chance to steal, so keep that in mind. Brandon, your first clue. 5 seconds of... Brandon, whose theme is that? You can hear it again if you like.
Nope, I'm good. That's Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
You bet it is. That is the first correct answer. Congratulations, Brandon. You've got the original Hunter clip. Now, your second clue each will be 4 seconds, and we now go to you. Paul, this one is for you. Paul, do you wish to answer or hear it again?
Was that beginning of Owen Hart's theme?
Congratulations, you have your second answer correct. Very good. All right. We now move on to a 4-second clue for you, Brandon. It is... Brandon, do you wish to answer or hear it again?
Yeah, I'm good. That's the Bushwhackers.
That is the Bushwhackers. Very good. All right. We now move on to clue number 3 for each of you. It will be 3 seconds. Paul, you will go first. Here is your clue. Paul, do you wish to answer or hear it again?
I think I've got an idea, but I will hear it again. Just
okay.
To be safe, sorry.
Here you go. And your guess, Paul?
China?
It is not China. It is WWE Hall of Famer this year. Oh, no. I'm supposed to allow you to steal. Okay, I screwed that up. Because I gave away a clue. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to allow a steal on this. My fault. I'm not going to allow a steal on this round. Sorry, Brandon. It is WWE Hall of Famer Torrey Wilson. Torrey Wilson. So I'm negating...
To be fair, I thought it was China.
All right.
I wouldn't have guessed Torrey.
So. All right. Well, nonetheless, Paul doesn't get the chance to steal on your next one. That's what happens when you're doing radio. So with that in mind, here is your next clue. Brandon, it is your three-second clue, and here it is. Brandon, do you know it or do you wish to hear again?
Yeah, I need to hear that one again.
Here we go. All righty, Brandon, your guess.
Tito Santana.
It is not Tito Santana. It was.
I know. This is, I can't steal. This is not fair.
I'm sorry, you can't steal. It was Christy Hemme's theme, Walk, Idiot, Walk, one of the most appropriate, funny ribs of all time as far as themes go. Sorry, Paul. All right, Paul, this one is yours, and it will be...
That's Tamina, isn't it?
Is that your guess?
No, I want to listen to it again. I'm going to go with Tamina.
It is not. That is not the correct answer. We go to you now for the steal, Brandon.
I don't know.
All right, the correct answer there is Umaga. It is Umaga's theme.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Brandon, this is your clue. Paul, get ready for the steal if you have the opportunity. And Brandon, your clue is 2 seconds of... Do you wish to guess or hear it again?
Let me hear that again, please.
There you have it. 2 seconds of that. And your guess?
The Beverly Brothers.
It is not the Beverly Brothers. Paul, you have the chance to steal on this one.
Well played, Jason. You stumped me.
No way.
Most of these questions, not a clue.
The correct answer is Brother Love. That is Brother Love's theme, so no steal there. All right.
I didn't even know he had a theme song.
He did. What? Always, when he came out and did his Brother Love segment, they'd always have that music playing. It is 2-1 right now. Brandon over top of Paul. So here we go. Paul, your final question is a 1 second clue. And here it is, Paul. Do you want to answer or hear it again?
That's the Nasty Boys.
You got it! With a 1 second clue. Congratulations, you've got it and tied the game right now. All right. We go over to Brandon, your final 1 second clue that could win you the game. It is.
Oh.
Brandon?
Play it again.
Here we go.
Is that Hardcore Holly?
It is not Hardcore Holly. For the victory, Paul, you shouted when you heard that the first time. For the steal, it is.
John Morrison.
John Morrison is correct! And boom, with a come-from-behind victory, the man known as Paul from the UK, the Savage, even though you almost got screwed over with my mistake on Christy Hemme, a 3-2 victory for Paul. Brandon, you played one hell of a game, but he's a savage. What can I say?
Yeah. Listen, he got a 1 second clip. He deserves the win. That was well done.
Paul, congratulations. We're going to hear from you next week when you go into the finals. It will not be Name That Tune. I will have a new game for you next week, and we will talk to you on our WrestleMania edition of the Turnbuckle Trivia Championship. Congratulations.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you for a good game as well.
Yeah. Great job, man. That was very good.
Next hour, we have our second semifinal, the Canadian Finals, you can call it, here on Sunday night's main event. Let's hope I do a little bit better. I'm glad my mistake did not affect the outcome of the game. It will be Name That Tune again. and we shall see how our participants do. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to come on back. Kenny Omega in our second hour. My goodness, stick with us. Sunday night's main event right here on TSN Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Scott Goldman, and I am the number one contender for the Strikes-a-Mania Championship. And just like I won the Rumble Strikes, Thursday, April 4th at 9:30, I'm going to Comedy Bar, and I'm going to take the title that Jamie Kavanaugh has been keeping warm for me, and I'm going to bring it home. And that, my friends, is not a prediction, it's a spoiler.
Strikes a Mania, Thursday, April 4th, 9:30 p.m. at Comedy Bar in Toronto. Advance tickets now on sale at snmeradio.com.
Catch WrestleMania live at Cineplex. You can watch all the suplexes, power slams, and chair shots on a screen so big, it's like you're there. Whether it's the triple threat match for the Raw Women's Championship, the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar, defending his title against Seth Rollins, or Batista and Triple H getting extreme in a no-holds-barred match, you and your friends can feel free to scream and cheer as loud as you want in a theater full of fans just like you. For tickets, go to cineplex.com/events or get them on your Cineplex app.
Welcome back to Sunday night's main event. He was gracious with his time. I got to chat with him for about 25 minutes. And if you want to hear the whole interview, it will be posted on Wednesday at patreon.com/snmeradio. So sign up. It's worth it. Listen, I know he's done a tour. I know he was all over the media in Canada. And I know many of you consumed a whole bunch of interviews with various sites. I tried to do a few different things. I got to talk to him before the interview. He let his guard down with me. It was fantastic to sit across from Kenny Omega. He's a well-spoken guy, really chill. I could tell he was tired, but he gave me some good stuff. So here's a portion of my interview with Kenny Omega right here on Sunday night's main event. Thank you for coming on in and doing this. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Thank you very much.
And how long have people been following you along with cameras? Because this is obviously a retrospective when people watch the documentary, but they haven't been following you since birth. So how did it come about?
I believe preliminary discussions happened about a year and a half or so ago.
Okay.
But I don't believe the cameras started following me until about, I don't know, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I knew there was going to be difficulties while following me in Japan, especially because there's a lot of red tape and there's a lot of things you can capture and can't capture, and that's not inclusive to just pro wrestling in the buildings and backstage, but even in Japan, you know, they're pretty strict about, you know, filming on the streets, filming in shops, filming. It's very difficult to have usable footage, and I knew that was going to be an issue from the offset, and I worried, you know, what stuff are you going to be able to film that you can use? That was always my concern, and that's also a reason why I turned down the project at first.
Really?
Yeah, I knowing how the landscape and the culture is in Japan, and knowing that they would not have a lot of footage that they would be able to use officially,
mm-hmm.
I worried that they wouldn't be able to produce a documentary that was representative of what my life was like in Japan.
Right.
And I worried that if it was about the wrestler, Kenny Omega, it wasn't going to be interesting if there was absolutely zero footage of me in a ring. You know, fast forward the clock, we were able to attain some rights to use some of that footage, clearly, as you'd seen from
the
trailer.
Of course, yep.
But really, boy, were we lucky that we got them. That was a hard-fought battle, and we ended up getting footage that we never thought we could get. But yeah, it looked like things came together. I still haven't seen the full finalized version, but from what I've heard from preliminary reviews, it is interesting. So,
well, I've seen it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I have seen it. I got a screener. So this is kind of funny considering you're the subject and haven't seen it. But I have seen it. It's great.
Oh, thank you.
It's a great story. It's very well put together as well. So all of those worries can go out the door for you.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a question in regards to when approached by it. I mean, wrestling documentaries happen all the time. There always has to be an angle to it. And
you know, when there's, for instance, look at something like Wrestling with Shadows. Mm-hmm. That was something that came about because they wanted to follow Bret Hart.
Right.
And it was a Canadian hero, etc.
Yeah.
Then Montreal happened.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it becomes this groundbreaking documentary.
Yes.
Was the intention of this story what it was in the end?
No, I don't think so. I really don't think so. Unless our producers and director always had this idea in the back of their mind, but I really don't think they did. And as far as I knew, the intention was always just to kind of make it about this foreigner struggling, and just struggling to make it in Japan in a very unconventional way. Because a lot of wrestlers, you know, especially in North America, they go the path of, you know, working up the indies to finally getting their NXT debut mm-hmm. tryout. And then, you know, from there, the main roster, et cetera, et cetera. And then now you're a success story. But my story was a little different where I bypassed the WWE system. I gave up that way of life and I wanted to make my living in Japan. It was rare. And I suppose they also liked the fact that I was relatively unknown in my own home country and especially in my hometown, which, you know, doesn't bother me whatsoever.
Well, let me ask you about that, though, because obviously sure. with this documentary and, of course, AEW approaching and you mm-hmm. being such a huge part of that, that's going to have great penetration in the United States and Canada. Do you worry at all? I mean, I walked in and I saw you sitting on the couch, very quiet demeanor, etc. Do you worry about losing your anonymity in North America, in particular in your hometown?
Not so much. You know, when I'm at home, I'm pretty much a stowaway anyway. I have a cottage that I go out to, and it's really private. You know, when I do go out, it's to either the gym or grocery shopping or just to my local video game store. I don't really get out too much. So, you know, even when I'm recognized there, it's everyone's very polite and very friendly. So it's positive. I enjoy it.
Well, I like to see Canadians living up to expectations of being polite.
Yeah, I mean, friendly Manitoba, right? But yeah, if things change beyond that, I welcome that change because everyone that I've met and have been able to interact with from my fan bases have been just a delight. And, you know, I was in Chicago for my first Comic-Con the other day, and, you know, we met with hundreds and hundreds of people. And, you know, we had one of the biggest lines in all of the con, with the exception of maybe Ant-Man himself. And, well, he was there, yeah.
Paul Rudd was there. Yep.
And just, you know, there was not one unpleasant experience for any of us there. So, you know, if we go about our days and we're running into people like that all the time, boy, you know, I feel like we'd be living a happy life, so.
Well, you mentioned earlier about going a different route than mm-hmm. standard WWE and separating yourself. And in watching the documentary, you know, that was touched on.
Yeah.
One of the things that I didn't pull out of it, though, was your mindset when you made that decision.
Mm.
Obviously, it was a big risk for your career.
Yeah.
Did you have doubts?
See, for me at that time, I wasn't even sure if I would continue professional wrestling. I'd fallen completely out of love with it. And I thought that maybe I would just work a normal job while training mixed martial arts and jiu-jitsu. I was heavily into Pride in that day. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with
that. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
the Pride Fighting
sure.
Championship purchased by the UFC. No. You're not doing the mainstream media anymore. It's all good.
I wasn't sure if I had to explain that or not.
Nope.
Okay.
My audience definitely knows.
Wonderful. Okay. Yeah, so that was my intention for a short period of time. But, you know, as I train and I would do exhibition matches, I would compete locally in jiu-jitsu tournaments. I would spar with some people that were actually fighting actively in UFC. You know, there was still a performer spirit in me, and I still wanted to perform, and I still wanted to be exciting. I still wanted to be entertaining. And, you know, all of my favorite fighters were entertaining fighters as well, people that used a lot of showmanship.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave another kick at the can, and next thing you knew, I decided to become a wrestler again. Well, not become a wrestler, I guess continue. I don't want to say that I retired. It was a very small hiatus, so I came back out of hiding and continued on the path of pro wrestling. And next I knew, after a few short trips to the East Coast in America, I received my first offer to tour Japan.
Speaking of the tour of Japan, mm-hmm. your storyline,
One of the things that's focused on in the documentary is the fact that you did make the heel turn. And that was so crucial to the storyline. In North America, currently, especially with the influence of WWE, there's so many shades of gray.
Yeah.
How much do you feel that the baby faces and heels are still important in modern day professional wrestling?
I feel that perhaps the textbook definition of baby face and heel, that dynamic isn't necessarily as important as it used to be. But I do believe the presence of good and evil is absolutely necessary. And I think it has to be easily understood amongst your fan base and the people you're performing in front of. I do believe Shades of Grey can work when it's written properly and when it's performed properly. But I don't see it performed properly all too often, because if it is a shade of gray, it needs to be compelling and you need to be able to relate to that feeling. You know, we're all human. We're all flawed as human beings. Even if we're more good than bad or more bad than good, but they're still the worst of people still probably have, you know, a redeeming quality about them. And I think that's what makes wrestling interesting in this day and age now, is that we have the opportunity, if you're in control of your own creative, to exploit, you know, that good side or that bad side. And those are the things that I try to do in my storytelling, which I don't think is done in a lot of North American mainstream pro wrestling.
So you're definitely big on being in control of your storylines. And was that one of the defining reasons why you decided to make the decision to do AEW with your buds as opposed to making the WWE decision?
Yeah, absolutely. I am not against, you know, I work on creative all the time with the Young Bucks and Cody, and, you know, we always spitball ideas, and sometimes my idea will morph or will evolve into something completely different, and will just be, you know, there'll be barely a semblance of my original idea. And in that case, if we all agree on it and if we think it's going to work, then we go with it. But at least there's that open communication that we have amongst each other. I think, you know, going the route of WWE, it's, you know, here's the script and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to just kind of play by the rules. And I don't think there's really much room for discussion. In cases, that's great. And that's a way to ensure that you're running a tight ship. And for a multi-billion-dollar industry now within WWE, you have to make sure you're running a tight ship. You can't have the inmates running the asylum. And so I understand that system is probably what's best for them. But for me, I feel like you wouldn't get the best Kenny Omega unless my creative spark was evident in my storytelling and in my performances.
So, you know, with that mindset and with you having, you know, a management position with AEW, is your Cody and the Young Bucks plan to empower the talent to be able to give, you know, their creative ideas to their storylines?
I think it'll always be encouraged that if you have an idea that you're passionate about, and if you have an idea that you think, you know, sort of embodies your spirit, then we will encourage the fostering and growth of that story and of that whatever character trait or whatever it is, your idea. We will never shut anyone down completely, I don't believe. Because really the reason why we became what we became and the reason why I'm comfortable in my own skin in the ring now is because I was able to actively pursue what made me me in the wrestling world. And if I wasn't able to do that, I would possibly still be lost. You know, there are people that have been around in the wrestling world for 20, 30, possibly even more years.
Oh, yeah.
And they never even know who they are. And they never can unlock that caramel secret that will make them the best performer that they can possibly be. You know, I see it locally. I see it everywhere. Everywhere.
There you have it. Just a portion of my interview with Kenny Omega. Now, for those of you that want to hear the rest of it, sign up to the Patreon. I'm going to put the whole thing up there on Wednesday of this week, patreon.com/SNMEradio. Along with that, if you haven't seen the documentary yet, it is definitely worth while seeing. It is great. And there is a rerun that will be playing on TSN for those of you here in Canada. It's going to be 11 a.m. on Tuesday on TSN 2. So that's 11 a.m. Eastern, Tuesday, TSN 2. Check your local listings and program your PVRs to see it. And a big thanks to Steve Argentaru, who hooked up the interview for me. Thank you very much, Steve, for doing that. I know you are listening right now. So thank you for listening and supporting the show as well. We are going to take a break when we come back. Hey, it's the Canadian Finals of the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament. Another Name That Theme game is still to come right here, Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. These eyes. If you'd like to hear the second hour of the show, please surf on over to patreon.com/snmeradio. And for only $4 a month, you can get all of what we do at Sunday night's main event, meaning the weekly show, the uncut, unedited interviews, and bonus podcast content. It's patreon.com/snmeradio.